Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. It looks like we're going to have to create our own sunshine today. So it's up to all of us, and I have just the person to help us do that this morning. I've been looking forward to this for a long time now. Joining me this morning on our show is the woman who was instrumental in turning my life in a new direction and opening me to animal communication. My guest today is my animal communication teacher and mentor, Dawn Heyman. Dawn will be sharing some of the incredible stories from the more than 60,000 animals she has consulted with. Her untiring work on behalf of animals is inspiring. Dawn is the co-founder and vice president of Spring Farm Cares, an animal and nature sanctuary and center for interspecies communication in New York. Dawn is one of the pioneers in the field of animal communication. She worked as a T-team practitioner and a professional hypnotist before founding Spring Farm Cares in 1991. Dawn has a Bachelor of Science in Social Work, and she is also the co-author of the Spring Farm Cares biography titled If Only They Could Talk, The Miracles of Spring Farm. And she's going to be sharing some of those miracles with us this morning. She's been a professional animal communicator doing professional consultations and teaching since 1988. She has consulted, like I said, with more than 60,000 animals, and she brings that vast knowledge and experience with her in her teaching and writing and with her this morning. So good morning, Dawn.
Great to be with you.
Yes, thank you. Like I said, I've been so looking forward to this because there's so much you have done for and on behalf of the animals with Spring Farm Cares. It's such a incredible facility.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Spring Farm Cares for the people who, you know, this is the first time they're hearing about it and how it came to be one of the premier teaching centers for animal communication in the country.
Sure. Well, Spring Farm Cares, as you noted, was founded in 1991, and we are actually home to, on average, about 275 to 300 animals that actually live here permanently.
Wow. I didn't realize it was quite that many.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps us busy.
Yes, real busy.
And that includes our horse population, which is about 28 horses. We pretty much stay at that. At our peak, we had 38, but we've deliberately downsized through natural attrition over the years, because one of the reasons is our horses now, we cater to horses who are extremely elderly or have handicaps. We specialize in elder care and hospice care in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we the animals that we have are very, very...
Fragile.
Pardon?
Fragile.
Fragile, yes. Very much special needs. So we need to be able to focus as much of our energy. We can't spread ourselves too thin. So we are at our capacity. We're always at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like I say, between 275, 300 animals, depending on, you know, what we have and how many special needs we have.
Yeah, so give people an idea when you say that many animals, but it really runs the gamut of all kinds of animals, doesn't it?
It does. We have 28 horses, as I said. We have about 12 goats. Now, the biggest number of animals we have here, the biggest species that takes up space here are cats.
Uh-huh.
We have about 200 cats.
Wow.
Which is actually about 40 over what we'd really like to have at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really bulging at the seams with cats. And we do adopt some cats out. So orphan kittens, things like that, we'll take in kittens and younger cats that we know we can place. And that's why those numbers are higher right now. We do have pending adoptions, and we are moving them. But anyway, 200 cats.
Yeah.
We have very far fewer dogs. Again, our dogs, we have about 8 dogs. Our dogs are special needs. All of them are permanent residents. So when we're full, we're full, and that's what our facility can handle. That's what our staff can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have some rabbits and ducks and chickens and...
And donkeys?
Donkeys, yes. We have our two donkeys. They're very special. And some ponies and yeah. And that's,
and the llama. Do you still have the llamas?
We don't. We don't have any llamas anymore.
Oh, okay.
And no more sheep either, but we have goats. But that's
okay.
It.
All yep. Right. Well, it's always a changing of the guard there, isn't there, with all different kinds of things.
Yes, it is for sure.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, now let's tell people. I know you told us in some of our classes, you started out pretty reluctant to really believe what you were actually getting when you started to hear the animals. So what convinced you and how did you make that change?
I was very reluctant. I went through a period, you know, over the years as I've honed my skills more and I've been teaching for so many years now. Looking back, I realize this is actually something, and it's true for everybody. Telepathy is a natural skill, so I mean it's a natural ability, and some people are more skilled at it than others. But this is something I was doing from when I was a young child. But somewhere in my teens, I discovered that it, quote, wasn't normal. It didn't look like what my friends were doing and experiencing, so I shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very deliberate thing that I shut off. But when I did that, I shut off a large part of my psychic experiences, if you want to call it that, or spiritual experiences.
Sure.
In life. And instead, I became a pessimist about everything. I was obnoxious about just not believing in things and refusing to believe in things. Because for me to believe in something like that, I'd have to open that door again to my own.
Right, and you didn't want to open that door.
Right. And I know that may seem odd to a lot of people, but it was just a decision. I didn't know what to do with it.
But that's so fairly common, Dawn, for a lot of people, particularly people that are opening psychically and spiritually, you know, because kids at that level, it's like you're fine until you get to school and you realize that nobody else, you know, is getting the same things you are getting, and then you don't want to be different.
That's right. Absolutely. And as an adult, I can put words to this that I couldn't
right.
as a child.
When you're younger.
Yeah. And I was what's called an empath. I mean, I mm-hmm. see that now. And just being able to feel everybody's feelings around me, and I didn't know what to do with that. So shutting it off and just saying all of that stuff is ridiculous was my way of coping.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my first experience hearing about animal communication, I was actually doing a horse training in California. And the person who owns the farm there had consulted an animal communicator named Penelope Smith, who was actually my mentor.
Right.
Now, but at the time, I thought she was a real kooky lady in California that talked to animals. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing horse training with my business partner, Bonnie Reynolds, who we're the two that started Spring Farm Cares. And we were, at that point, doing rehab with horses, and that's what we were doing. And Bonnie noticed that I had what she called a way with animals that she never had seen anybody else have, and I thought that was kind of ridiculous, but she kept insisting. And she was the one who actually pointed out to me that I was understanding the animals at a level that other people weren't understanding them at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a definitive moment here at the farm where we had an accident with one of our horses, and Bonnie had called Penelope Smith to do a consultation, and I poo-pooed the whole thing and thought it was a waste of her money but I was curious enough to listen on the phone.
Right, though. Right. The scientist and you still wanted to hear it so
yeah.
you could make your own determination.
That's right. So, but when I heard this consultation, I was blown away because this lady, you know, out in California, all by phone, definitely got with this horse, which she got the whole thing. I mean, we didn't tell her anything, and she was telling us stuff there's no way she could have known. But what it did for me was life-changing because that one phone call, and that was literally all it, well, there was a whole lot of other things going on at the same time, but the apex of that experience was that phone call where I already knew these things because I had been getting them myself from the horse. So
right, right.
I suddenly had to face it, and at that point, it was like the doors just flew open, and I dove right in. I was actually doing professional consultations within 1.5 years of that experience.
Well, because you had been doing it with animals forever,
right.
You know, and now you just actually opened that door. So how nice, you know, sometimes it just takes that validation. I was teaching a class this Saturday and I said, you know, humans are the only species that seems to require validation from outside of us that we don't trust our instincts like animals and other species.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I will say this, it may get in trouble with some of your audience members, but I will say this anyway because I find it to be absolutely true. Women, it's worse for women. Women have to, like, second-guess everything that we do. Men will pick up the animal communication sometimes quicker only because They don't question it once they get it.
Yeah. Well, I believe that because I know I struggled with it too when I started. And and even now sometimes, as much as I've been doing it, I'll go into this doubt mode. And, you know, my husband just will just sort of like laugh at me. And he's like, I can't even believe you're doing this. But, you know, and it's funny. It's like I just need him to say that. And then, like, you know, I'm back on track. But, you know, we do. It's like, I don't know. I guess we're just more sensitive to that. And, you know, so it's interesting that you said that. But, you know, he's just like, it is what it is. And, you know, of course, he gets it, too. So, and there'll be times, like, you know, I'll get something and I'll look at him and I say, what did you get?
Yeah, and we all do that, and that's okay. I think there's also a piece of humility in here that keeps us all checking and rechecking, and there's also a really good place for that. So it's constructive as well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Dawn, because, you know, we have to keep ourselves in check, too, because it's easy to step over that because people are really, you know, looking to us for answers that they don't think they've been able to get themselves.
Right.
You know, what I like most about some of the animal communication is, like, you know, the people will say, well, you know, that's what I thought.
Right. Absolutely. Because you're really not telling them anything.
No. They sort of know it, but they just needed me to say it.
Right. And that's the, again, goes back to the validation, that we all need that validation. And I always look at my practice over the years as being one of enabling people. And it's not that I'm giving them answers. I'm enabling them to hear them for themselves, because that's what it's all about for me.
Oh, I like that too. I like that too, you know, because we've tried to do that. We've had a couple other gals on that do animal communication. We always try to give people some little tips on how they're doing it at home themselves so that they just realize that they're getting it.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, so now I know you've had some really miraculous things that have occurred over the years. Can you share a couple of those with us?
With
the animals?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many.
I know, but that's okay. We love stories.
It's always hard for me to pick stories out. But, yeah, I mean, we've had many, many miraculous things happen here with the animal communication and with animals telling us things that there's no way we could have otherwise known. I'll tell you, one of the biggest miracles I see every day is just having our facility open to visitors, and people do come and visit. We see people all of the time come in and have really life-changing things happen. So this is we see miracles with the animals themselves, but we also see miracles with the people that come in the door to visit them. And I remember one time there was a woman who came with a boy. He was about 8 years old, and she was explaining to us that he was non-communicative. He hadn't spoken in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. He was.
Wow.
He had some form of autism.
Okay.
And he literally never spoke to anybody. So she was actually looking to adopt a cat for him because she had heard that animals can be helpful, and she was actually looking to adopt a cat. But she asked if she could take him out to the barn to see the animals out there. So we were doing a tour out there, and it was one of our employees and myself. We were out in the barn, and one of our barn cats came running over and was really rubbing up against this kid. And it was not characteristically necessarily for this cat to do this, so it caught my attention.
Uh-huh.
Not that she was, you know, wild or anything, but she just didn't really pay much attention to too many.
Right, she wasn't a people cat. She was,
yeah,
you know, she was an independent cat out there in the barn.
That's right. She was kind of head of the mousing in the barn, and that's what she did. And she didn't come to strangers usually. So I see her really, really, really paying a lot of attention to this boy, and she climbed up the sawdust pile, and he climbed up the sawdust pile with her. And the mother was so interested in the horses, I started watching because obviously I don't want this kid to fall off the sawdust pile.
Right, right, right.
But he sits down on the pile, and she's in his lap, and he's giggling, and he's you know, playing in the sawdust, and he's having a good time. And all of a sudden, I see the mother just whip around. I mean, it was like something caught her attention, and of course, as only a mother would get this. He had made some sound, and it didn't, you know, it didn't really mean much to me, but apparently he has not made sound even for...
Oh, it's not that he wasn't talking. He wasn't even making any noises.
Right. He wasn't even doing anything. So apparently he giggled, and he made this sound, and she turned around, And he looked at her from across the room, and he said, "Look at the kitty. Look at the kitty."
Oh, my gosh.
The woman just
Have been in tears.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, and his mother just burst into tears. So she adopted two cats. Not that barn cat, but she adopted two cats and took them home, and his whole world just changed. And it was just, he responded to the animals, you know, and he, that was his world. They could hear him. He could relate to where they were.
Oh, and you know, I think that's so true. They're so loving and non-threatening.
Yes.
That people really, you know, they can talk to them and they feel comfortable with that. And, you know, you just can have conversations with your animals that you don't say to other people.
Right.
I mean, we do that still, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's true. That's true for almost anybody that has animals. And I always say, if somebody doesn't admit that to me, it's okay. But I always know it's their inner truth that they don't want somebody to know. Because we do let animals in closer to our hearts than we let people in because of how non-judgmental they are.
Yeah.
And they love unconditionally.
Yeah, and we feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is so wonderful. You know, because it is. It's really people miracles as much as animal miracles.
It is. You know, we're an animal sanctuary, and that's what you're here for. But our bigger purpose and the reason why we actually opened Spring Farm Cares the way we did was we realized that we could be a rescue or we could be doing, because we started primarily as a horse rescue and then kind of turned into all the other species here. We could never make this place big enough to take care of the animals in need, even from our own community. I mean, we're turning away about 65 cats a week here.
Oh, my goodness.
People. Yeah, I mean, it's that bad. And that's even, that's one of the reasons why we have about 40 cats over. I mean, we're trying to help, but we're doing the best we can, and it's really important to understand our boundaries. But we realized we could build 5 more barns and you know, 3 more facilities the same size we have for the cats.
Right, and you still wouldn't have enough room.
No, it wouldn't take care of the problem. So we looked at this and said, okay, well, that's not the answer. So what is the answer? We kept, like, backing away from it a little bit more, taking a broader view and looking at it. So where we landed was that if people understood that animals had spirits and souls and thoughts and emotions like we do, if they understood that, they wouldn't be able to treat animals the same way. Because that's what the number one thing I hear from people when they take my workshops or they go through you know, any kind of awakening with animal communication is, I never look at animals the same again.
Right.
And I know for me personally, I never looked at anything the same again.
Right. Because it all has consciousness.
Yeah, and once you realize that, you have a different responsibility walking on this planet. And what your actions, you know, you have to make more conscious choices. And that's where we came from with this. So we said, okay, so let's be a center where we can be a sanctuary to some of these animals, but they're really teaching, and they're here to teach people. So that's what we're about, is having people come in, interact with the animals, or do it through our website. It's not just, you know, they don't have to physically come to the farm. They can do it through our website, through our Facebook page, where we tell a lot of these the stories of the animals and their messages. And it really touches people. I have people that I get emails from people that never have been here that say it changed their life just reading about the animals.
Right. And there's so many good stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many good stories. So so let's just tell people real quick. I will tell them again at the end of the show. The website is springfarmcares.org, right?
Correct.
All right. And so I encourage everybody to take a peek. You'll just be so enthralled with everything that you see there. So so definitely do that, and we'll repeat that again at the end. So, Dawn, now we talked about the animals, and I always tell people, when you talk to an animal, it's sort of like talking to people. Some of them are shy. Some of them are very chatty.
Right.
And you find that too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like people. And some of them are pretty philosophical, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're, you know, just it is just like people. They have varying degrees of, I want to say intelligence, but it's also self-awareness. I mean, they have various degrees of self-awareness, just like we do. So some of them are very philosophical and teachers, and others of them are the class clown, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So now, they actually help. You even, like, put together your curriculum and things like that, don't they?
Yes, they do. We have a lot of what I call master animal teachers here at the farm, and many over the years that have since passed on, but They help me. I teach a workshop now. My predominant focus is on teaching about death and dying and our spiritual connection. And the animals are the ones that have really encouraged me to start teaching that. And that's what I've been focused on for the last few years now.
Well, I think that's phenomenal because that is something that we as humans really struggle with, that animals have a different perspective on.
They have a totally different perspective, and it's comforting when you really delve into what their perspective is, and they don't have the layers of fear on death and dying, and they just don't. They don't have the layers of fear that humans tend to have.
So, as you go through that with people, Dawn, is your death and dying, is it actually talking about with animals, or is it just in general, you know, including people as well?
It's in general, including people. I have, this is probably a whole different topic, but my background as from a kid, that this is maybe new for you, Jackie, hearing this even, but
okay.
My background as a kid is that from a very early age, I was aware of guides coming to me in my sleep, and they would take me places, and I'd be talking to people and working with people. And at a very early age, I understood that I was actually helping people cross over and crossing into spirit. And when I started my animal work here, it became something that became a very physical thing as I sat with animals that
right,
were dying.
Right.
And I've done a lot of work both in helping beings cross over, but also getting communications from them and actually spending time in the spirit realm with them. And so I'm drawing on my experiences with all of that and sharing that in the workshops.
Yeah, and that's such a viewpoint that none of the rest of us have.
Right. And it's people that take the workshop, again, I keep hearing how life-changing they are, and it's not. I know it sounds like such a heavy topic, and I have trouble getting people to come because they think, oh, I don't want to go be depressed for 2 days sitting there. And, you know, people shed some tears now and then in a workshop, but it's not. They don't sit here crying for 2 days. They actually are amazed at the end. They say, but I haven't laughed so hard in 2 days in a long time, because it's not about sadness. It's about joy, and it's about how we live our lives in so much fear of what's going to happen, and it's going to happen to all of us and everybody we love and everybody that's around us, and it's a topic we don't want to discuss. But it's a topic because it's not discussed. It has this huge onus of being...
Right, it has a stigma we put on it.
Yeah, and if we would, like the animals, just really get past that, which the animals don't have that layer of fear, then if you remove that, it really helps you live your life more joyfully.
Oh, you know, that's very interesting, Dawn. All right, so I'm going to have to come up and take that one. Are you still teaching that? I know you're very busy on writing your next book. Are you doing any teaching this year?
I am. I am teaching, and my workshops start up, and that's on the website too. But, yes, starting in April, my workshops will be starting up for the year.
Okay. All right. Because, you know, I think, particularly for me, I think that would be very helpful because I work a lot with people, too, that after the dying process, and people still struggle with that with their loved ones.
Right.
So to get a different perspective would just be so helpful for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it is that fear thing. You know, we carry that fear with us. And I think as we get closer to when we think our time here on Earth in this lifetime is coming to a close, you know, sometimes that fear really escalates.
That's right. Yep.
So to have that sense of knowing and that sense of calmness would make a huge, huge difference.
Yes. And I'm seeing this with people. And again, I'm able to sit here to teach that from my experiences, but also because of the encouragement of the animals and everything they've taught me.
Yeah. So So they actually, and I know besides the curriculum, they actually even help write the newsletter, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So do you have the newsletter on the website too that people can like go back through some copies, or I guess they can just sign up?
Yeah, they can sign up, but we also have archived copies available on the website, and our Facebook page is another good thing if people are on Facebook, because we do have. I do post regularly messages from animals on there as well, so I try to stay current. This week I'm a little behind, but I did. If they scroll down on the Facebook page too and go back and look at old posts, they'll see I did a whole 35 days of from Thanksgiving to New Year's. I did an animal message every day with a picture of the animal and a message, and people found that pretty inspirational.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did, because people always say, well, what do animals talk about? Do they just want to talk about what they're eating?
I know. Yeah, they have a much broader perspective on life than we think they do.
Yeah, so I remember from years ago being up there with the llamas. I mean, talk about philosophy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So share with us some of the things, you know, that came through from some of those real master teachers.
Yeah. We had Gulliver, who was a llama. He people used to have such an incredible response. We'd have two responses from people about Gulliver. He had these huge eyes, and llamas are very expressive with their faces anyway. But Gulliver had a way of looking at you, and you would know that you've been seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know that you've been seen for who you truly are. That's a scary thing for some people. So we'd get two responses. People would come and meet Gulliver, and one group would say, there's something very eerie about that llama. And then the second group would say, whoa, this llama, oh, my God. And they'd like stand there with tears in their eyes, and they would say, there's something about him that's just amazing. And he would work with that group. The other group, he would just kind of walk away. It was really funny how he chooses people to work with. But he was all about having people drop into their hearts and really see what they're there for in life. That was always his message. He worked with me a lot. I remember one day he was out in the pasture, and it was parallel to our driveway, and I was walking down the driveway to go get the mail. And he came over to the fence, and he was watching me. He was just staring at me. And he said to me, where are you going? And I said, to check the mail.
Like, matter of fact, like, to check the mail.
Yeah, I knew that's not what he was asking.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to do it. You know, I said, to get the mail. And he said, guess again.
Guess again.
He says, why don't you come to my office and see me? And he starts strolling back up to the barn. So I went in, and he met me in the stall. And he said, why aren't you teaching?
Ah.
Why aren't you teaching what the animals have given you? And I felt like I had been stripped bare, you know, and I said, I am teaching what the animals have given me. I say everything you say, and I try to be really accurate. He said, I didn't say you weren't saying what we say. He said, you do very well at that. I'm asking you, why aren't you teaching what we've taught you?
Mm.
And it was that's where this workshop that I'm teaching now, that's what he was referring to. But it took me years to get the courage to come out and talk about this because, again, that was a big piece of my childhood that I couldn't make sense of, that I really pushed aside. So the animal communication kind of gave me an opening. It gave me an area where my empathic abilities were okay. It was great. I could use it in a really constructive, great way to help people and help animals, and that was great. But there was so much more to it, and there is so much more to it that I'm still uncovering, that he was wanting me to share more of the depth of what they were teaching me.
Right. Right. So you got called into the principal's office, didn't you, Dawn?
I did. And that's how I say to people, I said, the principal called me into the office. So when I went to leave, he says to me, because this is what I love about these master teacher animals, they all have a few things in common, and one is a great sense of humor. So I go to leave the barn, and he says, oh, don't forget the mail.
You know, people would just be, like, flabbergasted, like, you know, that you would have that kind of a conversation with an animal.
Yeah.
You know, so good for him. But, you know, Dawn, you know, that was such a personal thing for you and a struggle for you as you were growing up. You know, of course that would be hard for you.
Right.
You know, so you needed that support of all of them, and for them to bring you to a different place that you could see the value of that and what the purpose of that.
Right. And that's what the animals do. They give me that support.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, and the other animal that I remember a lot there, of course, is Amber.
Yes.
The donkey. So tell everybody a little bit about Amber.
Amber Donkey was a really neat donkey. She came to us when she was, she was in her 30s when she came. So we didn't think she would have her for very long. I remember the first time I made a mistake about Amber, she had been with us just for a few days. And in the old days, I used to like to take some of our old horses out of the barn, and I would take them for a walk just like I would a dog. I would just take them up to the field, and we'd go strolling, let the horse graze for a little bit, and walk back. And I didn't have any horses that were really safe enough to do that with. So I made the mistake of thinking, here's this old donkey. She's not going to do anything. So I said to the staff, I was really cocky about it, too, I'm going to take the old donkey out for a stroll. So I get the halter on her, I get the lead rope on, I take her out. We get about 10 feet outside the door, and all of a sudden, and I felt it. She looked at me, and I felt like something not good was about ready to happen. And she just bucked real hard. She kicked out real hard and spun around. And I was like, felt totally out of control. And she looked at me and she said, not bad for an old donkey. And that's when I met Amber for who she really was.
Uh-huh.
So Amber was a character and a half. She actually died here when she was 50. She lived to be 50.
Wow, she lived that long.
Yeah, and donkeys can live into their 40s. But 50 is a bit of a stretch. But she was unbelievable. She ran this place. She was absolutely the spiritual leader of all of the animals here for years. And plus, you could hear her everywhere.
I was going to say, you could hear her braying. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and she had her regular times of the day, she'd bray. Like, she'd bray for each time she was going to be fed, dinner time, always. Like, you could set your clock by the 4 o'clock bray. It was really funny, but even the neighbors, I mean, all of our neighbors would tell you how much they miss her. We have two donkeys. We have two other donkeys now, but they, it's just not the same. They're wonderful donkeys, but, I mean, Amber was her own special, unique thing. But people loved Amber. I had so many people in workshops get their first messages from her, and she was,
she was loud. I mean, even,
loud,
you know, telepathically, she was loud.
Yeah, and she was also grandmotherly.
Ah.
But she never took herself too seriously. She would, she got respect here. She got total respect here. But she was grandmotherly, but yet she was stern. I mean, she could be really stern.
Grandmotherly.
Yeah. She didn't want people doubting themselves. And so she'd have no tolerance for a lot of doubt. If somebody came to her continuously doubting herself, she would kind of walk away, and she'd say to me, "They're going to have to get this on their own now."
right. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be open. You have to be open, and that's a hard thing. I mean, I remember too, Dawn. I struggled with that. You know, when I took my first class, and I remember thinking, "I'm not getting this."
I know.
You know, and actually, what worked for me was coming back, you know, up to the classroom and not being right with the animal, putting all that pressure on myself, and then it started coming in.
Yes, and that's true for a lot of people, myself included. Sometimes, if I'm standing right there with an animal, I tend to block things out because I start watching them physically.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
People think it's much easier if you're with the animal, but it's never been the case for me. I get distracted with the animal, and you know, it just comes in easier when I'm you have that distance.
Yeah, that's the same for me.
Oh. But I'll never forget Amber. You know, she just, I love that you said like a grandmother, because I can see that. I can see that. But I have to say, all the animals at Spring Farm, you know, I think they're drawn there because they are teachers and they know this is where they need to be.
Yes, that's really true. And when we get them that come in, you can see them just kind of settle in. We don't adopt out any of the farm animals. The horses are farm animals, so they're with us for life. And again, they're not rideable, they're not breedable. They're animals that would end up, you know, this just not a place for them very much.
Right.
So we give them that dignity of living out their days with us here. And it's not uncommon for us to have horses to live well into their 30s. We get a lot of that. We have a couple right now that are in their mid-30s. And it's fun to have these old guys. It's really fun because they just bring in an energy that is incredible. And the younger horses really respect them. And it's funny to watch how they all kind of divide things up in the barn, but certain ones of them also work with different kinds of people. So they have their favorite type of person to work with. And some of them, they don't want to have beginners,
uh-huh.
trying to practice with them. They're like, I don't have the patience for this.
Uh-huh.
And there are others that that's all they want to do.
Right. But, you know, that's just like with people. I mean,
yeah.
you know, there are people who have the patience for kids. There are people who have the patience for questions, and,
right.
and there aren't. So there's so much.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, Dawn, believe it or not, we're coming close to our segment. And I want you to once again, please tell everybody how to find you on the web.
Okay. Our website is www.springfarmcares.org.
Okay, and you're also on Facebook, which would be fun for people to connect and always have that contact. And you have workshops coming up starting in April, because I'm looking at that one, too. I really am. I hope it's not the very first weekend.
I can't remember the dates off
Good.
The top of my head, I'm going to offer at least four times throughout the year. I have four scheduled now. If it looks like they're going to feel like I have some space to add another one.
So. Okay, all right. Well, you know, and hopefully people will understand the value of that, so...
Yeah.
Okay, Dawn, thank you so much for being with us and sharing all the good news about Spring Farm and the animals.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And I want to tell you who my guest will be next Tuesday. We're going to be seeing Kathy Harner, the registered nurse and astrologer. She's the founder and co-creator of Voices of the Goddess. She was with us a couple weeks ago for her 2014 Possibilities. And she's going to come back and tell us a little bit more about astrology. So she brings with her over 25 years of experience in several fields. So she's also a certified woman wisdom teacher. So she continues to counsel, teach, heal, and lecture in the Harrisburg area. And we're just going to be having so much fun with her next Tuesday. So please come back and listen to Kathy. All right. And just real quick, remember, everybody, you can always get in touch with me if you're looking for a personal reading. My office number is 717-968-5289. Okay. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Heart to Heart has been brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.